The Afterburn Podcast is a proud supporter of Guns Gear and Memorial Foundation, helping our veterans and their families when they need it most. To learn more, visit gunsgearin.com/rain.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, welcome. Thanks for listening to The Lowdown. Things that have happened throughout the week that I find interesting. And if you like the podcast, I think you will find interesting as well. With that being said, let's jump into The Lowdown.
Sam Lodge, stroke 8, nose 5, low.
Switch, negative contact on your...
Break right! Structure, defending, nose...
Welcome. Thanks for listening in. If you're a fan of the podcast, a couple admin notes. Over on Patreon, you can click the link down below. I have made Yokel's There I Was story free for everyone to listen and check out. I think it's a great one, some lessons learned that if you haven't been there and you're a pilot, one day you'll be there or in some similar circumstance. It's a great one to listen to. So if you're enjoying the podcast and you want to check out a There I Was story, you can swing over to Patreon, search for the Afterburn Podcast, or click the link down below. And you can check out Yokel's story that is free and open to everyone for the month of August. So check that out. Also, thanks for everyone who has been listening in. If you are listening to this, I encourage you also to grab the newsletter subscription. You can click that link down below. It's absolutely free. Make sure you leave a rating or review over on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. That always helps the show out and gets it shown to more people. But if you like free stuff and free swag with the newsletter, if you sign up, you can share it with our referral program, with the chance of winning some free stickers, some awesome stuff that are mystery prizes. But again, if you've been listening, I guarantee you won't be disappointed if you hit that referral level. It's going to be a few referrals, but I believe in you. We'll see what you can do. So check that link out down below. Let's get rolling into the podcast. Busy week. Just when I thought I was done editing the newsletter, more stuff happens in the news. So, you know, I got to go back in there and edit, but, you know, here I am. Here I am for you. Let's jump into history. August 7th, 1942, the Battle of Guadalcanal. Major John Smith, United States Marine Corps. Imagine being a young Marine, fresh out of training, and thrust in the fiery crucible of World War II's Pacific Theater. That was Major John Smith, an aviator from Lexington, Oklahoma, who became one of the heroes of the Guadalcanal campaign. Smith was leading VFMF 223. That's tough to say, but I'm not that smart. There we go. The Bulldogs. Smith and the Bulldogs with their F-4F Wildcats were an integral part of the Cactus Air Force. This is a ragtag group of Allied units that were operating out of Henderson Field during the Battle of Guadalcanal. They faced relentless Japanese attacks, poor supplies, oppressive jungle heat, but they kept at it. Smith was known for his fierce leadership. He inspired his men to perform heroic feats against overwhelming odds. Again, I cannot imagine being someone fighting in the Pacific Theater. I can't imagine being an aviator flying around the Pacific Theater. Now that's something I do in my day job, crossing the Pacific Ocean, and just to put myself in the cockpit of a World War II fighter or plane in general using a compass, going out there is insanity. To say these guys were brave is, I'd say, the understatement of the century. But within just a few weeks, intense combat operations started in August. By October, the beginning of October, Smith had downed 19 enemy aircraft. So he was an ace several times over. Remember, we need 5 aerial victories to be considered an ace. But wait, there's more. Smith was awarded the Medal of Honor upon his return back to Washington, D.C. in the spring of 1943. Well, to say we're standing on the shoulders of giants is an understatement when it comes to this, but these are the people we're talking about. Gentlemen like Major Smith, those who fought the Battle of Guadalcanal, those who fought World War II, the ones who kept this nation great and free from tyranny. That's what it's all about. All right, jumping into the flight line. If you listened to last week's episode or got the newsletter, We highlighted the B1 crash from January. The Accident Investigation Board came out. In that Accident Investigation Board, there is a lot to chew on. Again, I owe you probably a deeper dive into that mishap, but a lot of things went wrong. And as I guessed last week, usually out of the result of an AIB, such as the one that came out for the B1 crash, someone's going to lose a job, if not a few people. Well, in fact, Colonel Mark Kimball, the 20th Operations Group Commander at Ellsworth Air Force Base, was relieved of command by Colonel Derek C. Oakley, the 28th Bomb Wing Commander, due to loss of trust and confidence in his ability to command, based on the findings of the AIB, which is linked there in the newsletter. So if you really want to dig into the AIB yourself, it's a thick one, so to speak, there. So have at it. All right, busy week for Israel last week, killing Hezbollah and Hamas key leaders in and around the region, one in Lebanon, one in Tehran. So this one in Tehran, the Hamas political chief, Ismail Haniyeh, I think I'm pretty close on that one, non-standard for me. Original reports were saying it was an airstrike deep into Tehran, which would be impressive. Be no surprise, I think, for the F-35 being able to do that, but nonetheless, it would be impressive. Upon further review and with some of the dust settling, it looks like it was an explosive device that was planted ahead of time. According to articles, Mossad allegedly hired Iran's Republican Revolutionary Guard to plant the device. Out of this has come dozens of arrests inside of Iran, including senior Iranian officials. Israel has not commented, and Iran has pledged revenge. So that one's heating up again. All right, this happened Friday. There's video out there of a plane crash killing all 62 people on board, 58 passengers, four crew members on a Vopas ATR. There is video out there. I do have a link to one to the Av Herald website. And down at the bottom of that, there are videos of that. The video appears for the plane to be picking up somewhere in the mid, thousands of feet. There are reports saying that it started at 17,000 feet while it was on an initial approach into an airport outside São Paulo, Brazil. The plane is spinning. So it is departed control flight. No known reason, obviously, this time why it departed control flight. Sounds like there's assessments that the engines were running. So power on stall, went to stall, but who knows what made that aircraft to depart. We have some guesses, but unfortunately, all 62 souls on board were killed. It crashed in a residential area. No one on the ground was harmed there. All right, if you remember the Osprey, the CV-22, tilt rotor helicopter plane used by Air Force Special Operations Command, the Marine Corps, they had lots of mishaps and accidents over the last couple of years, ultimately leading to the grounding of the entire Osprey fleet across the DoD. When the last time that happened, I have no idea. But it's determined that there are gear cracks in the prop rotor gearbox. The result of this crash revealed that the Osprey had these critical cracks and the pilot ignored multiple decisions or multiple warnings to land the aircraft. Resulted in the deaths of 8 airmen from Air Force Special Operations Command. This gear pinion inside the prop rotor box. I'll have to do more research on it, but it seems like that was the single point failure. The pilot's mission-focused decision to continue down this path obviously led to the plane ultimately crashing there. That's as much as I know. I have not seen the AIB. I'll have to dig into that one as well, but Air Force Special Operations Command, it's definitely a lean forward, go get them, make it happen. You're out there often by yourself having to make decisions. So again, not being there and I haven't read the AIB, seeing these guys push forward when maybe that's not something that necessarily happened in other commands doesn't necessarily surprise me too much, but unfortunately all on board perished there. All right. Again, we keep talking about Ukraine and F-16s. Well, they're out there, they're flying, they've received their first F-16s. There are news articles talking about the F-16s crossing the border into Russia. Hats off to these guys. Hopefully it works out. I mean, again, I think this one is really a morale boost. They'll be able to do some good air-to-ground work, etc. They are flying around with HARM, the high-speed anti-radiation missiles, on their MiG-29s. Who knows what's going to end up showing up as far as weaponry on these F-16s. I've only seen a couple photos, but they, at least the ones in the background, don't appear to have an HTS, the harm targeting system that Block 50, the seed guys, suppression of enemy air defense guys fly around with, my previous life. So TBD there. Again, the drone stuff is just what's insane to me. A lot of stuff going on there. All right, how about this nerd? The Air Force vet calls for grounding of Blue Angels. And that's right, I don't take that back, and I mean it. So there's an Air Force veteran, according to these articles. He's a flight doc in Seattle, and the whole article is written by him saying we need to ground the Blue Angels for seafare. This always happens in these cities, which you might guess. It's just noise pollution and harmful, and we burn a lot of gas, with no true knowing of how much this impacts recruiting. Obviously, I am biased, having done air shows in my previous life. I think there's a lot of good that comes out of interacting with the community, let them get up and close and personal to the Department of Defense, because most people don't get a chance to go into a military base, let alone get up close to a jet or see a jet fly. So I disagree with this guy, and I think it's a sound of freedom. So there's that. But there's an article out there. I linked it, so you can go read it and see whose side you fall on there. All right, the Department of Defense has reopened an investigation to the raid that killed ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. I think I got that one right. But the October 2019 raid that led to the death of him, as well as some of his people, is under review to assess if there's any civilians that were harmed, maimed, or killed during the operation. There are articles out there, and there are people that claim that they lost limbs, they were hurt, and they were completely innocent in around this time period. So I guess we'll see what comes of that. I also have thoughts on that, but probably no one cares. All right, I completely missed this one because there's so much back and forth these days in the Air Force and what we're buying, what we're not buying. But the Oklahoma Air National Guard has received the Sky Warden. That's the air tractor, the AT-802. This thing is all loaded out with bombs, targeting pods, probably a gun pod on it, appears. But if you've ever seen the little crop duster zip around your hometown or driving down the highway that's painted yellow, this is essentially the same plane. I actually saw this when I was in Dubai at the trade show put out there by Textron. This is what they had out there. But they're trying to provide a lightweight attack aircraft for counterinsurgency and reconnaissance missions. So, you know, as A-10 goes away, having a plane that is, I would say, versatile, able to get into small fields, long loiter times, into austere environments, but necessarily uncontested environments, having something like the Sky Warden appears to be in desperate need. So Oklahoma Air National Guard also flies the MC-12, which previous life of mine. It's kind of interesting. They also, Oklahoma, I guess, has the end for the weird and odd new toys that active duty doesn't want or is getting. I don't know how all that works. It's interesting. So we'll see if Oklahoma keeps that or if it gets rolled up and sent over to AFSOC. Seems like a perfect AFSOC type plane. All right, if you're at this point in the newsletter just following along, which I'm sure all of you are, there's your referral program. You can get your link, you can share it, get your stickers, mugs, the 9G coin, and then the mystery prize if you're just really aggressive out there. Again, I think the mystery prize is pretty cool, but again, just me. All right, Putin has welcomed hackers, smugglers, spies, all in this prisoner swap. So historic prisoner swap between the United States, Russia, and some other nations. 16 individuals were released from the U.S. and our allies who are Russian spies, people that were arrested, yada, yada, yada. And then 8 on the U.S. side coming back. But again, historic, there were 2 children who found out their parents were spies while on the flight back to Russia. So I believe they're in Slovenia. Their parents had been arrested for spying. And yep, they were greeted by Putin when they landed. So I imagine they have a few questions and quite the jostling around. But yeah, big prisoner swap between the U.S. and Russia. Ukraine has sunk a submarine and as well as damaged the S-400 missile system, or at least one of them. So they have claimed they've successfully sunken the Russian submarine Rostov on Don. Okay, butchered that one, but you get the point. And they damaged an S-400 anti-aircraft missile system. So that's the NATO designation SA-21 Growler, which is a pretty robust system. And you probably don't want to see in your neighborhood if you're flying around. Al-Shabaab. Haven't seen a lot of them in the news lately, but terrorist group down there in Africa, predominantly. They had a big attack in Mogadishu on the beach. They killed over 32, or they killed 32 people and injured more than 60 in an attack on the beach there. So still would not vacation there. This is one that pops back up in the news, and I've left out of the newsletter a couple times because I didn't really know what was going on. So there are NASA astronauts and they're stuck in space. They're supposed to ride back on the Boeing Starliner. There are articles out there saying they're not stuck. But then when you look at it, it's more like they were supposed to come back, I believe, in June. Now they're like on day 60. And it appears they're going to have to ride back on SpaceX in 2025. So they're like 1 week or 2 week stay is now turning into 6 months. So a lot of overtime, I'm sure, is coming their way. But Boeing's woes with aircraft just continue there. So not where you want to be. All right, the first Huey replacement helicopter has been delivered to the United States Air Force. This is MH-139A, the Grey Wolf helicopter. It's designed to replace UH-1. Probably didn't even know that we're still flying Hueys unless you're in the Air Force, but the Huey predominantly utilized out there in our missile command, providing transport for missileers, security for missiles, a missileer or missiles and missileers, some search and rescue stuff, and VIP transport. They still do use the Huey as well, but the Grey Wolf is being developed by Boeing. It is a Italian Leonardo design. There's some integration that's going on there, but looks really fancy. Nothing really beats the sound of the Huey, though. Tough to beat that. All right. The Air Force is estimating to restore the ability to carry nuclear weapons on the B-52 is going to cost about $4.5 million, which, I mean, let's be honest, that's a drop in the bucket for DOD dollars, but this is all an effort to modernize the nuclear fleet. I'm in the midst of editing the podcast series I recorded up at Y-12 Nuclear Complex. Very interesting. In my opinion, incredible professionals and skill level going on there, ensuring our nation's nuclear capability. Also reading a book on nuclear weapons. The flying piece, something I never really thought about. Really, what's going to happen is ICBMs are going to get shot back and forth. And in a matter of like 45 minutes, the world's going to be over. So you probably don't need B-52s, but that's just me. They are part of the nuclear triad. So we got the ICBMs, we got the B-2, as well as our nuclear submarines hiding out there in the deep waters. All right. On that note, nuclear weapon stuff. North Korea unveiled their tactical nuclear weapons and missile launchers. These are upgraded and they were paraded in one of their parades in front of Kim Jong-un. I believe it was last week. It's just there to highlight the country's advancements in the nuclear capability and missile technologies. I'll link the book that I'm reading right now. But again, it's the scenario starts off by Annie Jacobson. It starts off with a nuclear missile ICBM shot at the United States. Ultimately, we shoot back. Those missiles have to fly over Russia. I should have mentioned, spoiler alert. And then the Russians see it and they shoot everything and it's all over. So, yeah, it turns out nuclear weapons, I don't know. I'm a big deterrence guy, but makes you think about stuff. So, I think that is all we have for the lowdown today. Make sure you click the link down below, grab the newsletter. You can check out Yokel's There I Was story for absolutely free. That is linked down below. With that being said, I'll catch you next week. It's been fun. Thanks for listening in. Your online security has never been more important. Recently, hackers stole over 2.9 billion records from National Public Data. You might be asking yourself, what's National Public Data? Well, that's the service that private investigators, companies, and staffing services all use to do background checks. This information is now in the hands of hackers who say they're going to give away this information for free. I use a company called Aura to make sure that whenever my data pops up in places I don't want, I get notified immediately. They also go right to work trying to remove your information from data brokers, as well as they offer a whole host of other tools. And should the worst case happen, they offer up to $5 million in identity theft protection insurance. Protect yourself and your family today with Aura.
You can use the link down below and get a 14-day free trial, and this will be enough time for Aura to go out there, scan the web, and see what information is out there that you really don't want. You can go to aura.com/afterburn or click the link down below in the description, again, to get 14 days free.